AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The birthday note allegedly written and drawn by President Trump to sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein in 2003, now released. The House Oversight Committee releasing the entire album of birthday notes. Trump has sued the Wall Street Journal over the album, denying his involvement in it. The Supreme Court issuing a ruling saying it is now legal for immigration agents to pull people over based on their race, language, and where they work if ICE agents suspect them of being in the country illegally.
The administration got more leeway for aggressive immigration enforcement after the Supreme Court lifted restrictions on ICE agents operating in California whose tactics had been criticized as racial profiling.
That's ABC Chief Law and Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas. DHS touting a new immigration operation coming soon in the city of Chicago. The Israeli military urging a full evacuation of Gaza City ahead of its planned offensive. Thousands of people there say they have nowhere to go. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. With kids back in school, parents need to be doing their best to make sure germs aren't being spread and they aren't getting sick. UW Health Kids Dr. Casey Freimiller says washing hands is the most important things kids can do.
Using soap and water and a quality amount of time. We talk about singing the ABCs. It really goes a long way to getting all the dirt and grime and the viruses and bacteria that can kind of be harbored on our hands. And frequently after using the bathroom, before eating, after playing outside or playing with a pet.
Parents should also be telling kids what to do properly if they have to cough or sneeze.
Helping kids remember, like, cover your cough and your sneeze. Teaching them to use their elbow or their sleeve or something that's farther away from their hand can go a long way in preventing their germs from reaching someone else.
Freimiller says proper hand washing and teaching kids to cover their coughs and sneezes will also help stop the spread of germs. But vaccines remain the number one defense for spreading illness.
Talking with your pediatrician about what vaccines might be available or necessary for kids as they get back to school or getting up to date on maybe some vaccines that we are due for is also helpful. Prevention goes a long way.
Freimiller says healthykids.org is a great resource for parents to visit to get more information. The Herb Kohl Educational Foundation is now accepting nominations for its 2026 Teacher Fellowship and Principal Leadership Awards. The awards are meant to honor teachers and administrative staff from across the state who go above and beyond to support their students. Award recipients will receive $6,000 and their schools will receive a matching $6,000 grant. Teachers can be nominated by other school staff, parents, and even students. The nominations can be submitted on the Herb Kohl Educational Foundation's website. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Some injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers have 14 players on the injury list following Sunday's win over the Lions. New additions include right tackle Zach Tom with a sore hip, left guard Aaron Banks listed with an ankle. The Packers host the Washington Commanders this Thursday night, kickoff at 7:15. On Monday Night Football, the Vikings beat the Bears in Chicago, 27-24. Baseball, the Brewers face the Rangers tonight in Arlington, Texas. The crew shut out by the Rangers last night, 5-0. Milwaukee's Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until the fifth when Michael Hellman hit a grand slam with two outs. Pat Murphy.
Get two outs in the inning and make an 0-2 pitch that just doesn't get to where you want. Unfortunate, and great credit to the Rangers hitter. Drove in all five runs, I believe, tonight. Great credit to him. Credit to their starting pitching. Their starting pitcher, he was fantastic. The catchers, I've always liked this kid. He really does a great job behind the dish.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some stellar September weather continues today with partly sunny skies, a high temperature of 73. A bit on the breezy side, though. For tonight, just a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 56. Good-looking day tomorrow, high of 77. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, September 9th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here. Up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network and all the other ways that could bring you right here to beautiful Chippewa Waffles. We are very happy that you are starting your day right here. I got a question for you. It's one of those semi-serious news questions, but every so often I feel the need to ask it. Is it possible to be both an evil genius doing diabolical, well-planned things and be stupid as well? If you've been paying attention for the past 7-8 months, you already know the answer to that. But I have these two different examples of how a presidency based in large part on racism has both evil genius tendencies and things that are akin to stepping on a rake. So I will describe that for you coming up in just a bit. Also coming up, I will once again beg, cajole, insist that local media stop engaging in stenography when it comes to Congressman Derek Van Orden, who once again was given coverage that was unencumbered by fact checks or clarifications or context. We will review an event the other night, not a town hall. We're not exactly sure what it was, to celebrate, quote unquote, a new tax policy regarding tips and overtime. It is not nearly as generous or encompassing as you would think, to see how it's being covered by other outlets. We'll be catching up with our friend Jeff Renicky. He's a friend of the Apostle Islands. That's actually the name of the group, Friends of the Apostle Islands. And we'll be talking about the Trump administration's willful neglect of our national parks, how it's being seen in everything from overworked staff and fewer tours to piled up trash and lost revenue that could be keeping our parks in a healthy condition. We will visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, along with Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You need an updated bucket list. You're going on a road trip, or you see a nice weekend's coming. This weekend's going to be nice. Now, we traveled last weekend. We had a really nice road trip. This weekend for us is going to be, you know, based on house stuff, but maybe this coming weekend is going to be the weekend that you guys can just get away and be whimsical in your planning. Well, Sheila Everhart will give you some ideas on some rural Wisconsin sites to add to your road trip bucket list for fall in Wisconsin. And then we have that new Tuesday tag team covering your capitals in both Madison and Washington, D.C. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from the nation's capital. We'll talk about the evil genius slash stepping on a rake process when it comes with dealing with Hispanic Americans and undocumented immigrants. And also at the same time deciding it was a good idea to raid a South Korean car factory and battery plant under construction. Boy, is that about to backfire. And then Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area will preview the upcoming session of the Wisconsin Assembly. It's time to look at those bills beyond the state budget and all the ways that they could change life in Wisconsin for you. So Dan will talk all about that. And then Tuesday brings both the Dans, Dan Schaefer and Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, WJFW-TV, will tell us what kind of stories he's working on in the North Woods. And of course, along the way, you might have to go to work. You might have to take the kids to school. You might, in some way, shape, or form, miss some of this. So get over to Spotify, sign up for this program as a podcast, and be able to listen back later on, maybe during, you know, your midday chores or whatever the case may be. So head to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us and all kinds of other great civic media shows. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. From meteorologist Brittany Merlot, the state forecast says summer-like weather is around the corner. There will be higher heat. There will be more mugginess. And there will be dry days to close out the week. But first, we got to get through the next 36 hours or so. For today, Brittany says rounds of rain and thunder to the north, cloudy to the south. Highs will be in the mid-60s up north, mid-70s south, with a southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy with spotty showers tonight. Lows tonight in the mid-50s and a south wind at 5 to 10. You can definitely tell the warm front worked its way through the state already, and the after effects of it are still up north as the front moved its way from south to north, because the high temperatures around the state right now are all in the northwestern corner of the state. It is 64 degrees in the Chippewa Valley here right now and in Menominee. It's also 64 in Burnett. And then the colder spots, like 45, way down in Burlington in the southeast corner of the state. But again, much more summer-like temperatures will be around, coming back one more time. Parker Olson produces this fine program from Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, one block away from the state capitol, and joins us now, I believe, through the magic of radio. Mr. Olson, how are you?
The magic of radio? I thought this was the magic of the internet, Mr. Crankle.
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's got to,
that's true.
Got to get from me to you through the interwebs,
yeah,
and then out to the public through the magic of radio. And we're very thankful for everybody that's doing that. Was yesterday as glorious there as it was here with that south wind at like 20 miles an hour? And it was, you know, the trees were swaying. It was just a beautiful breeze.
Yeah.
It could not have been a nicer example of a late summer day where you don't have the 90 degree temperatures, but yeah, it's still very pleasant.
Yeah, no, it was very nice. I had absolutely no complaints about the weather. So
yeah. Uh-huh.
There you, yeah, go. That's a good day in my book. If I don't have anything to complain about, which is hard. So
yeah, because life has beaten you down so much and you have so much to complain about otherwise. Alicia puts on YouTube, Mother Nature decided to turn the temperatures upside down. Yes, at least temporarily here. And, you know, like Alicia, if you'd like to, you know, get in on all the fun that we're having here, you definitely can. You head over to Up North News on Facebook or YouTube, or Civic Media on Facebook or YouTube, and jump in the comment section. Tell us what you're up to today, where you're listening from, what you're doing with your days. And also, we'll see those, but we'll also see if you use the Civic Media app and use the text function on there, for example. Or you can leave us a voice note as well. There's that voice note feature under all the different civic media stations, and we'll catch those. We'll listen to them, maybe pop those up on air. And, of course, one of these days, we're going to start taking phone calls again.
But one of these right days.
Now, you know,
we're close.
Parker is still, we're still working on that. And I say that half tongue-in-cheek because, again, it's not a lot of folks racing to call a radio station at 6:14 in the morning.
This is true. You know,
so we have found much more enthusiasm for people that want to, they're still in their pajamas, they've got their mug of coffee, and it's just easier to tap out something on your phone or on your computer keyboard. And that's fine. We want to give you all the opportunities to comment and let us know what's on your mind today.
We live in the age of the keyboard warrior, Pat.
We do. We've got it all. So if you are said keyboard warrior, well then, by gum, you come on out and say what's on your mind. We We'll get you on the phone at some point. We'll cajole you. We'll bribe you.
You don't understand, whatever. Guys. We're so close. I thought we had it.
Alicia says technology has a Tuesday morning attitude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tech Tuesdays with Pat and Parker. Here we go.
Yep. What did you break this time should be our motto. Also invite you to be a subscriber to the Up North News newsletters weekdays. We've got a new newsletter editor starting this week. And if she's half as good as she was in the job interviews, you're going to love to get to know her. So I'm just teasing you with that. There will be much more time to meet and greet and learn more about the newsletters. But in the meantime, Henry, our summer intern, did just a fantastic job helping out, lighten the load with all of us, contributing to it. And you can sign up for all the work that we do with the newsletters by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner up on top of our homepage. There's also our Sunday morning politics newsletter. And in it, there's always a question of the week. And I ask, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files? Did he realize that he maybe thought he wasn't going to get caught doing some bad things and realizes he did get caught doing bad things? Or is it a case of he actually isn't listed in the files doing bad things, but he's protecting other people who are listed there? Or is it that he's blackmailing other people who are listed in there, and that's why he hasn't released them yet? Or the fourth option, of course, is he's right. It's all a hoax. And all these women are just making it up. They're all part of a grand conspiracy. Sure, maybe that's one of your answers. Right now, there's been a whole lot of the others. And again, to be one of the first to see the question of the week and respond, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner and get on board with those newsletters. Boy, Parker, was I excited watching the first four innings of the Brewers game last night in Texas. It was also a perfect night for baseball in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah,
The roof was open on their new and gorgeous stadium down there. Yeah. And Jose Quintana, you know, put down put him down in order, 1-2-3. Second inning, 4-5-6. Third inning, 7-8-9. Fourth inning, 1-2-3 again. I mean, perfect through four innings. This was looking real good, real good. Yeah. And the wheels came off the bus in the fifth inning where he managed to load the bases. And then Quintana gave up a grand slam to Michael Hellman, his first ever major league grand slam. He drove in all of the Texas runs with a grand slam and later on a double as the Rangers beat the Brewers 5-0 last night. The Brewers were held scoreless for only the 11th time this season. I don't know the whole list of teams and how many times they've been shut out, but I don't think it's been a lot for the Brewers. So I'm saying only the 11th time this season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It just sucks when you have such a good pitching performance and you get shut out.
Yes, it really does. You know, this is the same team that has had far more four or more run innings than any other team in baseball. They have these big innings all the time where they're busting out the whooping sticks. And then sometimes the sticks appear to have been put into the fire pit and somebody put gasoline on them. So we'll see if we can pick it up again with game two of the series. That's this evening in Texas. Coverage begins at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. By the way, the magic number, Cubs lost. So the magic number to clinch the National League Central Division is 11. To clinch and get into the playoffs, the magic number is just 2. And for the best record, the number one seed, the magic number is only 12. So there's some reason to be hopeful here. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
The champagne could pop soon.
Yes, it could. So be on the lookout for that. And then of course, a reminder, the Packers on a short week. They've got the Thursday night game this time. I didn't hear all the details from Mike Clemens just now, but he was talking about injuries. And this is always the roughest part of those Thursday night games. Some would say the roughest part. I would say the dumbest part, because I still think Thursday night games are dumb. But they didn't ask for my vote. So it is what it is. And the pregame for Thursday's game against the Washington Commanders will begin at 5 p.m. on Thursday on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJAN in Racine, and WAUH in Wautoma. And find those stations and be a listener, because come Thursday, that game is on Amazon Prime, and there's quite a chance that you may not be able to hear that. or watch it, I should say, so you can hear it on Civic Media. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sen-Sen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Tomorrow in our homeroom segment, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and out of our hometown schools. Heather Dubois-Bornon will talk about a new campaign aimed at that taxpayer transparency that is coming up. I should have mentioned in sports as well, I didn't see it, just heard about it this morning, but the Bears just completely bared last night, apparently ahead handily. But then the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy managed to come all the way back and rallied to win over the Bears late in the game, 27-24. Couldn't happen to a better bunch of folks. David Crawley, the Milwaukee County executive, early this morning made official. He is a candidate for governor, so we will be talking about that later in the morning as well. Now, today's history lesson is only, about 12 minutes away or so. So let me tease you for today's history lesson with a little musical trivia. One of the songs we're going to include is from 1978. The song is Boogie Oogie Oogie from A Taste of Honey. That's the group. My question is, who's doing this iconic bass line? Who's that on the bass? We'll answer that question and more in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it appears that Congressman Derek Van Orden, who has not hosted a town hall in recent memory, did host some kind of an event in, where was it? Was it Galesville? It was a no tax on tips event. at a bar, and there was a story on it by a La Crosse TV station, WKBT. And to read the story, you would think that this was just an entirely positive event and that nobody had any tough questions for the congressman, not in the audience and not in the media as well. It was all about emphasizing, as the WKBT story says, emphasizing the potential financial benefits for service industry workers. The story says Wisconsin's 3rd District representative used the Galesville venue to showcase how the tax policy would directly impact food service employees who rely on gratuities as a significant portion of their income. Van Orden said, we're talking about $25,000 a year worth of tax breaks on tips, and that's the right thing to do, end quote. And the story concludes, Van Orden highlighted the savings and tax cuts that Republicans and President Trump secured for Americans during the previous administration. The congressman framed the no tax on tips proposal as part of a broader Republican economic agenda aimed at reducing the tax burden on working Americans. And that's the end of the story, kids. That's the end of the quote-unquote news coverage. Pardon me for a moment while I let out a deep sigh. I don't know who covered this. I don't know who wrote this. I am not here to single them out, other than to say it is a story that is indeed quite representative of how Derek Van Orden has been covered by local news outlets that are, shall we say, bereft of experienced journalists. I mean, was this a town hall? Was this a fundraiser? Was this a drop-in? He has been hiding from his constituents for months. Covering him should kind of be a bigger deal, assuming there were people there who were not simply fawning over him and could ask some tough questions about the real world impact of what it is he voted for. So I am again asking, maybe not begging, but pretty close to demanding, that local reporters in and around the 3rd Congressional District stop being stenographers, ask well-prepared questions, don't accept answers that are evasive or rude, as Van Orden is wont to do, or don't worry about asking questions to a guy who's going to be evasive and rude, but at least make sure that your story includes the full story about the claims he's making. For example, the WKBT story could simply go on to say the following. What Congressman Van Orden did not mention at his party is that a review of the bill he supported shows that of the only 3% of American workers who get tips, this change only affects about 1/3 of them. Many tipped workers have such a low income that a deduction from that tipped income would do almost nothing for them. And they'd still have to pay payroll taxes, Social Security and otherwise, state income taxes, and so on. And as for the tax break on overtime, which is typically paid at time and a half, the tax break is only eliminated on the half. And the regular pay level for those working overtime still pays at the same tax rate as before. That's it. That's all that story would have needed to be more complete and, frankly, more fair to the viewer. What I just said there, that part that I added, there is nothing in there that is partisan. There is nothing in there that is even remotely political. What it is journalism. Don't cover the event. Cover the story. The story is a congressman coming out of hiding, saying a bill does one thing, but he's not telling you the whole thing. And when your congressman is not being on the level with you, that's where journalism becomes the public service. We talk about elected officials being public servants. They really, so many of them don't think of themselves that way anymore. And too many journalists think of themselves as just part of, you know, an ownership group, another cog in the business of media. No, you're engaged in a public service as much, if not more so, than the elected officials that you're covering. So perform that public service and tell the full story. If the politician won't answer your questions or if the politician's going to be rude, then simply note that in the story. But then get all the details out there for your viewer, for your listener, for your reader. That really is the least you can do if you're going to have a role in media covering our elected officials in this day and age. All right, coming up, we will have today's history lesson, including who is on that iconic bass line from Boogie Oogie Oogie. In the meantime, here comes the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
DATCAP is proposing an increase in fees for livestock yards, dealers, and haulers. But what exactly will these increased fees be affecting? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, is here to give an inside look on the proposed Chapter 12 fee increases.
Chapter 12 is the chapter that really impacts what we're doing. And there's an annual registration or annual license fee that we pay for our markets to be licensed every year. And then dealers, so livestock dealers, as well as livestock truckers, also have to pay an annual registration fee. And primarily what that does is it funds the audits. So in our case, our livestock markets, our markets are all Class A markets because of the number of sales we have in a year. So as Class A markets, a DATCAP auditor comes out to our facility quarterly.
Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, joining us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is once again holding their Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition. The nomination period is open through September 12th, and the announcement of the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin for this year will be held on October 23rd. In other news, at the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest, Wisconsin showed why we are America's Dairyland by taking home 52.3% of all cow's milk cheese awards. With a look at some agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some stellar September weather continues today with partly sunny skies, a high temperature of 73. A bit on the breezy side, though. For tonight, just a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 56. Good-looking day tomorrow, high of 77. Current temperature is 56 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat-out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people, apparently, Maggie, in high places in government, engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs.
Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back to today's history lesson for this September 9th, 9/9/25, and we begin with the premiere of the TV series Welcome Back, Cotter, which debuted on ABC this date 50 years ago. That still is going to hit me every time I do something from 1975 and go, wait, it's been 50 years? Yeah, it is. The TV show about one of the former sweat hogs, as the kids all called themselves at this high school in I want to say, was it Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City?
Well, I don't know.
He later becomes a teacher, and he comes back, and now he has to be the teacher to the same rambunctious type of students that he once was himself. The theme song there, that was written by John Sebastian of The Lovin' Spoonful, performed by him as well, and it would be the number one song on the charts later next year as Welcome Back, Cotter caught on and became a highly rated ABC show. Another media story, the Radio Corporation of America, later known as RCA, on this day in 1926, launched its new radio network, the National Broadcasting Company, later known as NBC. So the NBC radio network began this day in 1926. All right, let's see. We've got what else in today's history lesson here? Got to scroll down. Oh, we've got a lot of birthdays today. We've got Dave Stewart is 73 from the Eurythmics, along with Annie Lennox. Hugh Grant is 65 years old today. And today marks the birth 84 years ago of Otis Redding, who died way too soon, a plane crash in Madison at the age of 26. But Otis Redding was born this day in 1941. Everybody goes, oh, it's Otis Redding. You're going to play Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, right? No, we're not. Because there's some songs when there's only like one version that's good and the rest are like pale comparisons. But respect, of course, Aretha Franklin, you know, but Otis Redding as well. Really nice version of that one got more than its share of airplay. And he would have done much more with it had he not passed away so soon at the age of 26. Adam Sandler is 59 years old today. Eric Stone Street of Modern Family is 54. The Bublé, Michael Bublé, is 50 years old today. John Coon,
former,
is 44. I like that he's really embraced the broadcast thing now. He's on the games. He's in the booth. Now he's doing TV commercials. So,
oh, is he? I don't think I've seen those.
Oh, yeah. I forget what it's for now, but I want to say it's for Potawatomi, for the sports book.
Okay.
I think it is. So, you know, good for him. It's always, sometimes these athletes, they leave, you know, they retire. You never hear from them again. Like, what happened to so-and-so? And then you got, like, Donald Driver. I mean, honestly, you expect to get in your car one day and he's in the back seat. Going, hi, I'm Donald Driver. I brought you some sub sandwiches and I'm writing you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. He's everywhere.
Yeah, I do like players that stick around like this.
Now, I know there's folks saying, well, wait, it's Michael Bublé's 50th birthday. Where's the song from Michael Bublé? To which I say, you're welcome. Let's move on to Elvis Presley. On this day in 1956, Elvis made the first of 3 contracted appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. Here's the clip of him performing Don't Be Cruel. I am surprised the crowd is that restrained. as they were. He also would sing Love Me Tender, Ready Teddy, and Hound Dog, but he was shot from the waist up to avoid scandal.
And don't want to see those hips moving.
And the show built an audience of a staggering, listen to this. This is 1956. 54 million viewers.
I didn't know there were that many TVs.
I don't even know that the Super Bowl gets that much for raw numbers anymore. Wow. I could be wrong. I mean, your typical number one show used to get like maybe 20 million viewers.
Sure.
And now it struggles to get that. But again, you only had two or three channels at the time. So you were going to watch Elvis whether you wanted to or not. And most people most decidedly did.
They wanted to watch.
All right. Let's go to 1972. The new album there was from Jim Croce.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums, 42nd Street got Big Jim, a walker here, bull shooting son of a gun.
If you were to listen just to the history lesson, and we just talked about Otis Redding dying too soon in that plane crash in Lake Monona, and then Jim Croce, we lost him way too soon in an airplane crash, and we talked about Patsy Cline, I believe just yesterday, you'd think maybe the advice for musicians is not to get in airplanes. But remember, a lot of these were in the 50s and 60s. And it's not that planes don't crash anymore, but it was definitely a different era back then. And Jim Croce was approaching his peak with hits off that album, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, from this week in 1972. On this day in 1976, the answer to the question, you know, when did we decide to call ourselves the United States of America? Of all the things you could have picked for a country, I know they talked about like New Columbia and, you know, other names that were bandied about. But it was on this day in 1776, the Continental Congress officially named its Union of States as the United States. Which seems pretty basic. Like, what are we going to call ourselves? We're just a bunch of states. Yeah, but we're United States. Wait a minute.
I got an idea. Like,
wait a minute. We're just a bunch of baseball players. What are we going to call ourselves? Let's go with the ball players. It's brilliant. Go with that.
What? So I would like to hear an alternative, Pat. What would your name have been for the United States?
That's a very good question. Maybe not England.
Not England. Okay. I'd have gone with anti-England. Yeah.
Anti-England. See, that would have worked out as well. On this day in 1791, so what, 15 years later or so, the capital city of the United States, the new capital city, would be named Washington, D.C., named after President George Washington. So there are those who say it will be renamed Trump, D.C. within the next year or two.
Oh, No.
Some could. All right, let's get to that little bit of trivia there. A Taste of Honey and Boogie Oogie Oogie. That was the number one song this week in 1978. Let's give a listen again to the start of it. Now, A Taste of Honey, the lead singer, her name was Janice Marie Johnson. They had a drummer, a keyboardist, they had a lead guitar player. But what I didn't know till now was the person putting down this bass... Oh, I hit it too soon. I thought it was the short radio edit. But forget it. We'll get this in post-production. We'll be back.
When you listen to this on the podcast, it'll be perfect.
A lead guitar. But what I didn't know till now was the person pulling down this bass line. Nailed it.
Attaboy.
The person nailing down the bass line was also Janice Marie Johnson, the singer. And is also a member of the Native American Music Association Hall of Fame. Number one song this week in 1978. On this day in 1999, a new park opened in Winslow, Arizona. And if I say Winslow, Arizona, if you're a really good fan of the Eagles, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The park is called Standing on the Corner Park, for that Eagle song, Take It Easy. And it goes like this. And I know you're thinking, well, why didn't you bring that up yesterday? And you know why? Because was it last year? I want to say last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago when Dr. Kristen Lyerly was there and sent us a photograph of her at Standing on the Corner Park in Winslow, Arizona, featuring a statue of a man with a guitar standing on the corner. and the park quickly became a popular photo op for folks passing through Winslow, Arizona, Dr. Lyerly included. Of course.
Of course she is. I was unaware of this. Of course she partook in this. All right.
Of course she did. On this day in 2014, hey, who doesn't like a free gift? Well, apparently about 500 million of us iTunes users at the time who created an uproar when U2's new album, Songs of Innocence, showed up in our personal libraries without costing anything, but also without anyone's permission to put their album in our personal music library. In other words, it was digital zucchini. You can't just come into our music collection front porch and leave us stuff that we didn't ask for.
I was not expecting a dig at Luke there.
It wasn't a dig at Luke Mathers, necessarily. But yeah, it was digital zucchini is the way that I choose to look at it. And so, and you would try to like delete it, and like it may or may not work. It might still actually be there in my phone, for all I know. But it's a lot different now. Now there's just stuff that comes up random because the streaming services, you know, they're trying to use AI and guess what you want to hear next. Yeah. Sometimes it works, you know, sometimes not so much.
And it's all free now.
And what do you mean it's all free?
Like Spotify, it's free.
Well,
you can just listen to stuff.
They're gonna find a way to get you, though. They're going to want you to subscribe to something extra or
whatever.
Well,
I pay for Spotify, yeah, but...
Okay, there you go. Mathers on the text line. Yeah, that was kind of a dig, but I agree. I hated that album. And that was the problem. People did listen to the album and go, you know, not everything that you do is great. I mean, look at the Beatles. I point you to Michelle. Listen to that song and tell me the Beatles had 100% record. They did not. Every so often, one of them's going to miss. This week in 2006, we got this lead single from Justin Timberlake's second solo album. I know, I'm waiting for it to do something as well. I'm bringing sexy back. There we go. Thank you, Justin. So anyway, Sexy Back was the lead single from the album Future Sex Love Song Love Sounds, and it hit number one this week in 2006 and would stay there for 7 weeks. 2 years later, in 2008, music news would be made by Donnie and Marie, of all people. Donnie and Marie Osmond, this week in 2008, kicked off what was supposed to be a six-week residency at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. But the show was so popular, instead of 6 weeks, the show ran for 11 years. Finally coming to an end in 2019 when Marie wanted to, you know, step down. Donny Osmond still performing quite regularly.
Huh. I'm no expert, but I think 11 years is a little longer than 6 weeks.
A little bit, yeah. The math definitely works on there. Tony says, it was so nice of Justin to write a song about me. Sure.
I thought it was about Pat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's see. Today on the International Day calendar, it is International Box Wine Day. Much of a wine drinker. No. I thought when box wine came out, I thought people would welcome that. Like, you know, better packaging and, you know, it would stay fresh longer without the cork thing. Oh, no. Box wine was quickly relegated to, you know, that thing that people look down on. But it's still around. Plenty of people still drink their box wine. This is the National Teddy Bear Day and International Sudoku Day.
Ah.
And I can say in all honesty, I have never played Sudoku.
Never.
Never.
That seems like such a you thing to do.
I know. And I've just never gotten around to it. So anyway, Roger asks from Stevens Point on Facebook, does anyone still Wordle? That too is a valid question.
Yeah.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Wow, that's annoying, isn't it?
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Utah voters are back on a path to fair maps as a state circuit court judge ruled congressional districts must be redrawn by September 25th. The state Supreme Court ruled last summer that the legislature's attempt at circumventing a citizen-led independent redistricting commission by passing contrary state statutes was unconstitutional. In 2018, Utah voters approved Better Boundaries Proposition 4, establishing a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. Ignoring the voters, the GOP-dominated legislature passed laws to make the commission advisory instead of independent and gerrymandered the maps anyway. When the state Supreme Court ruled the legislature couldn't overrule voters, lawmakers proposed Amendment D to give it that authority. Its language was later ruled deceptive. August 25th, 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson ordered the legislature to create congressional districts by September 25th, using the fair maps criteria as approved by the voters to be reviewed by the court November 10th. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that Utah's GOP leadership will begrudgingly comply with the court's order. The maps will be in place for the 2026 midterms. We have the judge's order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The spotlight on the River Valley School District, and Superintendent Lauren Glassbrenner is here today, along with Assistant Superintendent Brian Cry, a guy who wears lots of hats. We'll start with him. You know, your business card must be quite full, Brian.
Yeah, it's hard to fit everything on your email signature, let alone a business card. But it's fun to be involved, and I think that's... whether we're administrators or teachers or support staff, we all like to get involved in everything in school and just be a part of growing kids in any way we can, whether it's in the classroom or outside the classroom. It's a lot of fun.
The move, I know, was a big thing, big topic over the summer. Did you get that all done by opening day?
We had the move done 2.5 weeks ahead of schedule. So we had everything moved, I think it was about mid-July. And there's about 7 or 8 support staff that came in and helped move 70 of our 100 teacher classrooms, which is incredible work by them. So we did a few small construction projects, which delayed a few teachers getting in. But I'm hopeful our staff was pretty happy that they were in by mid-July and they could get their classrooms organized.
Second week of school, Lauren, is it like old hat now? You got all the schedules down like it's supposed to be and everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's so great to see the kids back on our campus, and it's great to see the teachers back around and the flow of traffic, and everything's up and moving. And as Brian just said, you know, that first week of even teachers coming back and in those new spots really felt like a resurgence of energy. It was really exciting to have everybody around. And then the kids come back and all that hard work that we did over the summer was not just for us. It was for the kids. And so it felt really good to get kids back and to see the parents dropping them off and picking them up. And it's just been really good. By the end of last week, it was back to a regular day, right? The opening day assemblies are over and those crazy schedules so you can run through everything are kind of done and everybody knows where their classrooms are and where their electives are going to be. And so everything felt really good by Thursday, Friday. And so this will be a solid just week of academics and getting into the flow of school. So it feels really good. We're excited for the 25-26 school year.
Did you have several new staff members this year?
Yeah, we actually have 6 new staff members. There's several that are new to the district, but I think we have 6 new to the profession too. So that's exciting. So we're excited about the new people that have come aboard. We're fully staffed. We have all our kitchens fully staffed, all our janitorial, all our assistants, all our teachers, everybody's fully staffed. So it feels really good. We had an entire group that kind of has stuck with us for a long time. So we're excited about them joining some of those veteran staff members. And yeah, just feels really good to have some new, fresh ideas around, new blood. But it also, it's great to see everybody come back from a summer and well-rested and ready to go.
Well, you hit the ground running and you start talking about homecoming and school fair right away, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, this week we've got so many things happening and those just keep going and homecoming's right around the corner. So like this week alone, we've got, you know, things like 7th and 8th grade volleyball hits. And then we've got JV football even tonight where Broadhead Judah comes and visits us. Thursday, typical night for volleyball. We've got a lot of volleyball happening around our space. So those are away games for us, but we're excited for that. The teams are ready. We do have 7th and 8th grade football at home this week. Friday night, though, we will have Prayer to Sheen at a varsity football game right on our home stadium. And we're excited about that Friday night football game, kind of the Friday night lights. It'll be a good time. And then Saturday, we have a huge event. We will have our River Valley Invitational, which is a cross-country meet that is beyond another. And Brian will talk about that because he's one of the assistant coaches for that team.
Yeah, congratulations, Brian. How's it going this year?
It's great. The season's off and running. We've had 2 meets, and the team's working hard, and they continue to improve, and they're looking forward. This invite this weekend is our only quote-unquote home meet. And if you've never been to the cross-country invite, it is this Saturday. It starts at 8:30. It's at the Spring Green Municipal Golf Course. Parking can become a little bit of a pain, so you might get a little jog in, actually, to get there. But we have 42 teams. And we divide them up into a large division and a small division, so 21 teams in each division. And there will be about 1,500 runners between 8:30 a.m. and noon on Saturday on that golf course. And the weather looks good. We'll cross our fingers that it stays warm and dry. But it's a great event. If you haven't been there, come on out. There's no entry fee. You just show up to the golf course and cheer some kids on that are run around the golf course. A lot of fun.
It's a real marvel, Brian, because I've had the opportunity to be there a few times, and just how you coordinate all of that between the big schools and the small schools, and then all of your staff on the course and everything.
A lot of volunteers, too. So, yeah, our parents who want to watch their kids run, we try to give them the opportunity to volunteer and then watch the kid run, their kid run, and then go back and volunteer. So a big thanks to all our volunteers. And Steve Stetler, the head coach, does an immense amount of work along with Jamie Hegelin to make sure the logistics are all done, from whether it's porta potties or getting the course marked. A lot of work this week. So the other note, too, is that our swim team has a home meet. The one home meet I think they have this year is tomorrow night at the Spring Green Pool at 6 p.m. So they don't get the opportunity to have home meets either, but that is Tuesday night at the pool against McFarland. So that's fun.
That'll be a great time, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think the weather, hopefully the water warms up for them. It should now in the next 24 hours.
It's heated, and, you know, you might see them getting out of the pool cold. The air might be colder than the pool tomorrow night, but very cool for our girls to have a home swim meet before they get into the indoor season when it gets cooler. So. Yeah.
We talked about it before we went on, but I think it's important to get your fall sports off and running. And if they're successful, it seems like the rest of the year goes better, too, doesn't it?
Positive energy, yeah. The football team's been around since August 5th, I believe. Some of the sports started a week later, and then a lot of them started 2 weeks later. So the kids have been in the building since the beginning, middle of August. And when they get off to some positive starts, it does build some very good energy in the buildings and amongst our students and staff and in the community. So we feel like we're off to a great start this school year.
This year, you probably wouldn't have wanted it, but any thought, Lauren, of getting the school year started earlier? You know, I think the state mandates or dictates that, doesn't it?
The state does mandate that. You can transition to an earlier start date for a couple reasons, and one of them is construction. So if you're doing a large construction project, you can kind of end early or start late. That gives you more time to do that construction. But beyond that, there's really not a lot of reasons that you can change the school calendar. You have to start after Labor Day. It's part of a state statute.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henriks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling that ICE raids in California can go forward. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
This is a big win for President Trump and his administration's aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. The Supreme Court lifting restrictions on ICE agents operating in California, allowing them to target, stop, and detain people based solely on their race, the fact that they speak Spanish, where they gather, or what type of work they do. Factors that a lower court judge had deemed unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment, of course, protects against unlawful searches and seizures.
The White House is denying that the sexually suggestive letter and drawing allegedly sent from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein 22 years ago was done by Trump. The House Oversight Committee released it last night. The Israeli military is urging a full evacuation of Gaza City ahead of its planned expanded offensive. Hundreds of thousands of people say they have nowhere else to go. Hundreds are staging a